What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 266, and as you can tell, I'm big. I don't have Ryan on the screen with me this week because we have a special guest this week. Ryan was actually on vacation, although he texted me earlier and said he's on his way back, so we might see him later if we game. But this week, we have a special guest. We did this a little while back, and the whole idea of these kind of interviews is to get like another perspective and to just talk about people who work in the industry, who are just around the industry, and see kind of what their stories are. So this week we have one of my good friends, somebody I met for the first time when I was in Hong Kong, and he's such a fun guy. He runs a website called Funky Kit and another website called AMD3D. He also does his own weekly live stream podcast, whatever you want to call it. It is Winston Chim. So, Winston, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's it going?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bob, how's it going?
It's
you are in the States and I'm in Hong Kong. So, we're like,
yeah,
I'm a 12-hour difference.
So it's the morning there. So it's 8:30 p.m. here. It's 8:30 a.m. there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's 12-hour difference.
So good morning. And hopefully we didn't have to get you up too early.
That's all good. That's all good. So yeah, I'm Winston. So I run Funky Kit and AMD3D, our sister site, and I also do a weekly live podcast, live stream show. And I've met Bob. I think it was back in 2016.
Yeah.
It was like six years ago. And it was at the Zotac I think it was a 10th anniversary of the NVIDIA GeForce launch.
It was something with Zotac. I don't know if it wasn't their 10th anniversary, was it?
No, it was the 10th anniversary of I think it is. I think it was the Zotac 10th anniversary, but it was the launch of the GTX 1080 cards or something
like that. 1050. We saw the 1050s
at the factory.
So the whole premise of this trip was one, to do a factory tour. So every couple years, like, a company does a factory tour where they invite press us to go see how the graphics cards are made. And we actually have a video on our YouTube if you guys want to check it out, where I made a video of the assembly line and seeing how graphics cards are made. And if you've never seen it, it's actually pretty cool to see how the tech that we use on a daily basis is actually made and put together. And it was really, really cool. And for me, it was really cool because I had never been to an Asian country before, and going to mainland China is pretty interesting.
Yeah,
to say the least.
You probably see the difference between where you're in Hong Kong and then you move to China.
Yeah.
It's like two different countries. I say countries, two regions now. But it was interesting because the first time I met Bob, and it's like, hey, what'd you do? I said, well, I used to run a website. And I think, well, which one? I said, oh, well, it was an old one. You probably never heard of it. I think, oh, okay. But then, we met there and we became good friends and that. And then, I met you at the CES and everything. And so the friendship was there. And we have a weekly, or so I say weekly, sometimes we catch up on a monthly basis, right? And it's all good. It's all good. So Bob's busy moving, I heard. You're doing a moving
giveaway? Yeah, the boxes are still behind me, as you guys can see. I'm almost... So next week will be our last podcast in this space. And then I'll probably skip a week just because I don't think I'll be set up in the new space. And then we'll have the podcast in the new space. I'm really excited for moving. It's going to be rather interesting, to say the least. So, about that trip, if you guys know anything about me, like, on a personal level, like, I love traveling, I love seeing new things. And not only was it a trip to see, like, tech stuff, and obviously Zotac was nice enough to show us the factory and all that kind of stuff. But after, like, all of our events were over, I was like, Winston, like, you're from Hong Kong, you have to show me around. And he showed me around. He took me to this really sketchy spot that had all these interesting things to eat, which I didn't eat any of the weird stuff that was there, but it was a
bar and everything. And you stayed at the hotel, which was where you probably heard of the stories, the Snowden, you know,
That's where he was.
Yeah, he stayed at the same hotel as you did. Yeah.
that was a nice hotel. I like that hotel.
Yeah. So that was good. And did you get used to the weather? Because it's quite humid up there, right?
Yeah. So the morning we went to the factory, I was like, I want to go explore before they take us on the bus and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go walk down to the harbor and see all this stuff. I walked like two blocks and I was just covered in sweat. I had to go back to the hotel and change before we went to the factory because,
It's a nice city. Politics aside, it's a shame that, it is.
Yeah.
It is
well, the thing that I liked about Hong Kong, I've been in New York City. I felt it was like a New York City, but a little bit different, obviously. And I really liked it. Like, I really liked it was just really different. It was a really good experience for me. Obviously, with the politics now, I know it's not the best place, but but yeah, I mean, it was a fun trip. But like I said, it that's like how I met you. So I'm glad I went on that trip. So you run two websites, but we've actually never talked about this. How did you get into this whole, reviewing products, or how did you get into the tech industry?
Oh, wow. It's a long, long story. So if I can, if you bear with me, okay. So I'm not as young as you think I am. I'm quite old, right? So I'll tell you how old I am, right? I'm in the sense tech terms, okay? Tech terms. How old am I? Well, I started off with a Commodore 64.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Commodore 64. Then I moved on to the Amiga, and then all the consoles kicked in, then SNES, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's how got me, got myself into tech. And it was more gaming, consoles and modifying certain old computers to get running faster, right? So, and then I got myself into the PC when the consoles started to die off a little bit. PCs kicked in with their Voodoo cards and all that kind of stuff. It was like, wow, Voodoo cards, man. And then I start tinkering with a bit overclocking, because at the time Intel was really expensive, and I thought, okay, well, I've got to get myself an AMD because that's cheaper. But then I can overclock an AMD and then run as fast as an Intel. I thought, what? Why not? I'm not going to spend £400-£500 for a chip. Or $500-$600 for a chip when I can get an AMD for like 150, 200, and then that's just overclock the thing, And I started playing around with that, and then I started working for NTL. It's basically a cable company, a local cable company back in the UK. And at the time, we were still on 56K modems, And I thought, okay, that's really slow, 56K. And I went to work for NTL, went into their, offices and stuff like that, and they had cable speeds. I thought, whoa, 56k versus 2 meg or 1 meg at the time. It's wow. And then I was working around, I was doing the call center jobs, answering tech calls, and I was still doing my PCs at the time. And I was, because you get a time with we work with the graveyard shift, right? They call the graveyard shift. So 2 or 3 in the morning. So you're not going to get many calls. So I'm stuck there. So I'm searching around on the internet, and I got myself into coding a little bit with, server, Linux, that kind of stuff. And then I went to this website called All Games Network, and it's shut down now. But at the time, reviews were around at the time. And so I'm reading a couple of reviews, and then boom, it says click here to play. And I thought, what the hell is that? I clicked on that, and it was the first time I'd seen live video of someone, obviously live, but it's a video playback of a video graphics card review. And I just got hooked. I thought, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing this. And then that's how I started AMD 3D, because of course I'm an AMD fan. You can see all the AMD boxes there. Right? So AMD 3D, and that was doing okay for it was just basically a news website, a hobby site kind of thing, and I did a little bit of overclocking on that. And I started getting my brother opened a computer shop. So my brother opened a computer shop, my older brother, with his partner, and selling computer parts and building systems. At the time, modding wasn't even a thing. They were building PCs for business and offices and stuff like that. You know me, young, being younger and all that kind of stuff, and clocking. So I said to my brother, hey, how about you get some of these components? I thought, and he's looking at, what? A gaming graphics card for like $300? What the hell? Who's going to buy that? And then and coolers for like $100. I'm thinking, nobody's going to buy that. And I started, okay, just get some. I want to play with it. I says, well, you're paying for it. Okay, fine. I'll pay for it. So I started getting these things in and I started messing around with that. And I think we were the only ones in, well, we're from Cardiff, Wales. So it's part of the UK. And I built a water cool system. I had to get all the parts from the US because they didn't build any of that kind of stuff in the UK. So it's a radiator, a pump was is one of those fish pump pumps, basically, right? Yeah. And the water block I had to get from the States. And the tubing was basically the soft tubing and stuff like that. And I had to get clamps, you know, those radiator clamps you get in the cars?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So I had to use those to clamp all the tubing down and everything. And I built one of these things, and I thought, whoa, this is it, you know? And I just put it on the shelf for the window display of my brother's shop. And it just basically, everybody said, what the hell is that? They all came into the shop and said, yeah, I want to be interested in building this and that. So that kind of attracted a couple of manufacturers because they thought, okay, this guy's doing some stuff here. And they were sending me boards to have a look, review and things. That's how we got started, right? And then AMD 3D was, took off. And then, you know, being young at the time, things started, life changes, you know, that kind of stuff. And I took a break from the website for a bit. And I said, hey, I got my younger brother. My younger brother says, okay, let me try and do something with it. And then nothing really happened. So it was like, it kind of died off a little bit. And then at that time is when I moved to Hong Kong. And I went to Hong Kong for a bit. You know, I need to explore myself, right? Because I want to travel and stuff like that. And after about a year of so-called traveling, I thought, okay, my fingers are itchy. You know, I thought, I need to do something here. And then I ended up going back to the UK. And I thought, okay, where's AMD 3D at? It was basically down the drain, little thing. You know, it wasn't doing much. And I thought, okay, let's do something different. Okay, because AMD 3D was really, if you mention the name, it's all AMD related, you know? And I thought, okay, maybe that's not really encompassing with, you know, enticing for people to come in, for other people like, you know, Intel users or whatever, or NVIDIA users. So I started CPU 3D. And that actually was more successful than AMD 3D. And that went on for about 3 years. It was pretty cool. It was we had loads of sponsors and stuff like that coming in. We were doing esports a little bit, and we were covering the live LAN parties at UK. So it was gaining a lot of traction. And in fact, I actually met more manufacturers and more friends, like Minky from Coolmaster, and then of course, Bob, others from the manufacturers of Thermaltake and stuff like that, and. And Shannon and stuff like that. So yeah, it was good. And then to cut a long story short again, the website kind of died. Don't ask me how or why. It just did. And that literally killed like everything. And I was really, I thought, okay, maybe it's not the right thing to do. I don't know. But so I took another year break. Okay. Yes, yeah, it's long. It's a long, long story. Yeah. But I had the following, I had the fans and that. And at the time, social media kind of just started to kick off. And again, this is where I thought, okay, I'll go back to Hong Kong because I thought, okay, I made some friends there, and if I wanted to start something, maybe it's better for me to stay in Hong Kong because it's closer to Taiwan, because a lot of the manufacturers or head offices or HQs are in Taiwan. So I went to Hong Kong, and I think it took me about like 9 months to a year to build up then the next website, which was Funky Kit. So that's how Funky Kit happened. And then it kind of just stayed because, and that's how it is. And then I think last year, also, year before, I kicked off AMD 3D. I thought, okay, let's bring that back up again, because with AMD going up, you know, recently. I thought it'd be a good place, a good time to start. And that's more of a news website with gaming involved, not much reviews. The reviews and bulk of the reviews are actually done on FunkyKit. And yeah, I think from then onwards, from FunkyKit, I think it was 2010, it was doing fine. And we just kind of stayed ever since then doing that. So that's long story short, I guess.
Nice, nice. Yeah. You had never told me that. I had never asked you that. So that's pretty interesting. I wish I could take a year off and just.
Yeah. It's difficult. But this is how you know, some people run websites because it's a business, right? And they think, okay, it's making money. And that's how, like, I think for you, that's a good thing. You know, you're turning your hobby, your interest into a business where you actually make money, or make money enough to cover your costs and to make a half decent living, whatever. For me, the website was more of an interest, really, than anything else. I don't make much money on it. In fact, I only make enough to cover the server costs, the hosting costs, the equipment that I have to buy, like the cameras and the test systems and stuff like that. But that's just to satisfy my interests, really.
Yeah.
And as long as I don't, you know, lose money on that, that's fine. Because it's like someone into cars, right? If they're into their sports cars, they want to, like, buy new wheels, you know, the rims. Yeah. They want to do the spoilers. And that all costs money. But imagine sponsor says, hey, I like your car. How about we'll give you some new spoilers? We'll give you some new wheels. Then, you know, you just got to, like, drive around, promote it and stuff like that. That's the similar kind of thing. But, you know, someone's into cars, I'm into my tech. People like camera tech. People are into their cameras. There's a whole community of camera people. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's whoa, their equipment is like, whoa, is that this world? There's people like doing like all this. The lenses cost more than the cameras itself.
Oh, I know.
And you can buy a camera, just a body, which costs like $2,000-$3,000 already, just like that. And it's a whole world of just camera tech people.
Oh, yeah.
And then my friend's a DJ, because back in the UK, he does a little bit of DJ. And there's a whole world of DJ tech and audio tech. It's like, what the hell? It's like, we're a small potato.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you see now with the internet, especially social media now, there you can find whatever your interest is, you can find a community to find other people who are interested in that. And that's what, like, that's why I love our, like, tech community, is because I feel like we're all friends, and I feel like, you know, we have the privilege of, you know, being able to have these, like, get these products and to tell other people about them and to get excited about them. And yeah, so that's, I guess that's an interesting story. Real quick, I haven't been keeping up with the chat, which is something I never typically do. I'm really bad at it. But LBOE says, hello, fellows. Old man is in the house. He's one of our regulars. When you were talking about graphics cards, he said the first GPU he bought was the 8800 GT. And then I'm just going to call him Alonso, says good morning. So he must be in your area. So one thing that was interesting is we were saying is, like, obviously for me, Think Computers is it's one of my, I mean, I have a couple other businesses, but it's a business for me. And it's like, sometimes, you know, when it's a hobby, sometimes it feels easier when you have deadlines and the more work you do or the more reviews or whatever it may be, the more money you make. And you sometimes lose that fun of it, I feel.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's like something that I battle with, is like, you know, I have this many reviews to get done, and you get burnt out. And I've talked about it. Like, I've taken, like, whole weeks off from the website. So I was like, I need to, like, just reset. So, you know,
I mean, you do a lot of the you do your own vlogs, right, with the video travel. I like them, because you get out in the countryside, right, and you get
that was the big thing, was like, you know, I make so much content, whether it's written content or video like we're doing now. And, you know, ever since I had met Kayla, it was like, okay, you know, she's off work this day. Okay, we're going to go do something completely out of the house. Like, we're going to go do something where we don't have to think about it. A lot of the places we go, we don't have, you know, internet connection on our phone or anything. So it's like no distractions. But yeah, I feel you need that. I feel like, you know, like for you, like the tech stuff might be like the escape from like, you know, your normal job or the real world. And, you know, tech is still an escape for me too. Obviously it's still my job. I still like love doing it, but you do have those times where it does become work and it's not as fun, but you try to mitigate those times. You know what I mean? Like, we just had our, you know, like launches are always a pain in the ass because you have a deadline. You only get the product a few days before that deadline. And it's always, you know, that I think it's for everybody. Everybody goes through that. But for the most part, it's always fun. And it's always good to, you know, get to just be able to have the privilege to check out new tech. I love like definitely anytime I get something new, I'm like, wow, this is like so awesome. You know what I mean? So it's always good, you know, good to have that feeling.
So. I mean, what's your favorite thing to test? Is it like boards, or you test the or graphics cards, or what do you think is the best?
I mean, do you like graphics cards, right? Because it's like, especially when once we moved out of 1080, like in the graphics card space, we got cards that could do 1440 and like you know, over 60 FPS. Like to see the difference. I remember like doing one of my first ever, because like, you know, I've been in the industry as long as you have, like when you got that first graphics card sponsor and you got like a new card compared to like the old card you had, and you're like, wow, this is what a card that I can't afford that I'm getting to review. Like, this is like an, you know, I do like graphics cards, but for me, honestly, I think my favorite thing is motherboards. I love motherboards because it's like, every new chipset, we get a set of new tech, right? We get it, whether it's like moving from USB 2 to USB 3, or, you know, we're getting faster Wi-Fi, like those things that those like impact people in like a more daily basis, I would say. Like, I mean, you remember like transferring something on like USB 2, and then now we have like USB, you know, even going from like, I do a lot of portable SSD reviews, like going from USB 3.2 Gen 1 to USB 3.2 Gen 2, it's like twice the speed. So it's like,
The big difference for that is I noticed the speeds on those M.2 SSDs. I mean, I mean, I've just got one from Patriot Viper. I'm not supposed to tell everybody, but I've got one of these so far, right? And you can see
I reviewed that already.
This one is like super fast. Like, what?
Yeah, and Gen 4.
A Gen 4, the speeds from like Gen 3 to Gen 4, and then you notice the speed, especially if you're doing a lot of video editing content, kind of stuff, it makes a difference, right? Saving your files and copy and pasting and stuff like that, it does make a difference. And remember, back in the day, before standard 2.5 or 3.5 inch SSDs, you were on the mechanical drives, and they're like, it takes ages to like save and stuff like that. But yeah, the speed difference when you per technology jump is quite a good thing. And also coming up next, later on in the year, we're gonna be doing DDR5 and stuff like that. So that's interesting.
What about you? Like, what is your favorite thing to review?
Quick and easy ones, like you said. SSDs, SSDs are good, nice and quick. A graphics card, I can. I just need maybe a day or two to run all the benchmarks and stuff. But anything nice and quick, you know. If you're asking me to review a case, need to build it up and stuff, that takes some time.
I do like cases as well, especially like, seeing, like, say, like, you can see them behind me if you can, there, but the two Fractal cases that I have here, like, to see the, you know, them bring out a new case and how much they've changed it because I've reviewed the previous, like, three models, like, to see that stuff in a case is, to see, like, companies actually making changes for their users is, like, that's pretty awesome to see in a case.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Years ago, we used to see cases manufactured by those guys, and then they didn't really think about what the consumers want, right? They just build it. Yeah. Oh, it's the next new case that they have. They just, we've got all these new features, but without actually telling us or asking us what we want.
Yeah.
But now we're getting cases where all of the stuff, all the new features, actually what customers like you and me want. And Thermaltake's one of them, Regentech a few of those. They started making cases, especially for the modders and the people.
That's the big thing I think we've seen in like the past 5 years is like these cases that have water cooling built into them that, you know, are made for modders or made for water cooling specifically. That, like, in the past 5 years, we've seen an explosion of that. Like, Thermaltake's one of the big ones. I mean, they have a case that's basically the entire case is a distro plate.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I do like that one. But it's expensive, right? It's like, what? Yeah. How much? But I do like it.
Yeah, I would say, like, I'm trying to think the worst thing to review. I mean, some things, so most products I feel very confident in like my ability to review them, right? But so I've been starting to review monitors, and I don't know as much about monitors, so the review is harder because I have to, some stuff I have to look up because I don't know enough about it, you know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah, the only thing that I haven't really got into is the power supplies, because I'm not a technical electrical guy, you know. I don't know all my electrical, like, you know, that kind of technology terms, but there are people doing, like, you know, really, really in-depth technical stuff, right? Like the ripples and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, okay, that's not really me. I just need to look at the ampage, right? The ampage, the if it's big enough and it's a single volt rail, that's it, you know, that's good enough for me, right? And if it runs all my graphics cards, run all my fans and all that kind of stuff, if I can overclock on it, then that's fine.
we like, when I started the site, we did power supply reviews, and we would use, I forget the program that we used to test them, and then as the website progressed and I felt that we need, you know, I didn't feel that our reviews were very in depth, I just start saying, no, don't send me any more power supplies, because we don't have a technically, if you really want to test the power supply, you need a load tester.
Yeah.
And the only way to get a load tester is spend like $10,000 on one, or know somebody that has one that will give it to you, or like a power supply company getting rid of an old one. It's like, it just was not worth it. And we didn't feel we were doing injustice to our readers by being like, okay, this is what this, you know. It just was, So power supplies we really don't do at all anymore.
I think the other easier ones to do are like the gaming headsets, the mice, and the keyboards. I've seen some of your keyboard reviews; they're pretty cool. I like the ducky one, you know, that's nice. Yeah. So those are quite easy to do because you either use it, you wear it, and stuff like that. And
that's what's great about keyboard and mice, because it's like I get to game. I have to game to test it. So I get to play video games and test a mouse or a keyboard or something like that. So, anybody who's in the chat, if you want to ask Winston some questions, we can obviously get to those as we go through. But we did want to talk about something, because this obviously has a lot to do with you, and how you started your live stream. Basically, I mean, were you telling me you started it because of COVID?
So 2020 started around about February, March time.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, that coincided with the launch of AMD 3D. And so I started, okay, let's do that first, get the website done, and then just get some news running on that. And then the live stream started just after that, around about March. And it was just basically me and my brother, because my brother runs the back end of the sites, the server end, the programming, the Linux stuff, server stuff. So I was just me and him talking about tech stuff. And then I had a few other people, I think mostly just local friends. And then after that, I thought, okay, let's do a little bit more. See if we can get some guests in. And I thought, okay, let's try and get some old friends. One of them is Stephen Fung. He's a Canadian. You heard of him? Yeah, so he's moved on from tech to do camera stuff now. So he's into full-on video filming, broadcasting, and obviously he does a lot of still photos with his cameras. So I started getting him on and a few others. And those couple of shows, I thought, hey, that was good content, because it wasn't about PC stuff. It was camera tech. Yeah. And then I started getting other people on, you know, modders, because we got a modding group. It's on Facebook. It's the Extreme PC Modding Group. I think you're also a member, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where we find. So we do our weekly feature or case mod Friday, and that's usually where I find them, is on your Facebook.
Yeah, it's loads, because it's a good community place, and it's like tons of people on there. If you've got mods that you want to post to show off, then go there. If you want to get some ideas, also go there. And so that also kicked in, and we'll get some modders to join the show, and we talked, because people think, what the hell's modding, or why do people mod or change their cases or spend so much money on having a case modded? And then we have people talking about how they got into modding and why they mod. It's an interesting story. And then we just, you know, did that, and then that became more popular, and I thought, okay, that's good. And then we started getting more manufacturers guests come in around about, I think, September, October time last year. And then we had Thermaltake, we had Regentech, we had EVGA and a few others. And I think next month we're gonna have Patriot Memory, Viper Gaming, nice, talking about some of their stuff. We're trying to get ASRock as well, because they're one of our main sponsors. So with ASRock, they haven't got a big, huge presence in the US, but in Asia, they're pretty quite well known. Yeah. So we're going to try and get more manufacturers on. With those, are a little bit harder to do, not to arrange, as to say, because they need to speak about their products, right? They need to be like company correct PC and all that kind of stuff, right? So and you can't like be more natural about doing that kind of
there's certain things you can't say.
So my take is, I say to them, look, don't do that kind of stuff. How about just talk to me as a friend, because I know you for how many years, blah blah blah, and say just a catch up, just a talk, and don't, you know, if we mention some products, then fine, go ahead. But I don't want to do this or turn this into like a proper professional interview.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always feel it's better if you just talk, like that's what I feel like a review is. So I always tell, like Ryan, for instance, when he's been doing some videos, he actually put a video up on his water cooling build, and I always tell him, when you talk to the camera, just talk like you're talking to like your friend. You know, it's more natural that way, instead of trying to read a script. Like when I do my YouTube videos, I really never read a script. I have like notes, but I just kind of just go, because I feel it's more natural.
Yeah, yeah. So we do that. And I think so far the stream's been doing well. And that's, if you want to catch more streams than that, just go to funkykit.com on the website. You could also do twitch.tv/funkykit. As well as YouTube. So yeah. So it's all there.
Yeah. And that's another thing. So, you know, with, you obviously started this out, like you said, when kind of coincided with COVID, like, has that changed anything on your end, like in your part of the world, as far as like, you know, events, because we only usually get to see each other like at CES, which obviously didn't happen this year. Mm-hmm. You know, what has anything else changed in, you know, or how has it changed like anything with the website? Like for me, I feel that we're getting a lot more people interested in PC building, because everybody, you know, is working from home, and instead of just getting, you know, a Dell or whatever, like they want to build their own PC. I've had friends that are like not computer people at all. They built their own water cooled system, which is something that I haven't even done. And they built their own keyboard, like they got a custom keyboard, like they did all that. I'm like dude, what, like, you know, that's how I feel like COVID has changed that whole aspect. Like there's so many more people into PCs,
and they probably got a lot of time on their hands, right? So you know, they can actually study a little bit more, investigate a little bit more. That's how that's what you need to do if you're going to build a water cool system. You need to like investigate, you need to study it, you need to plan it. Planning is a big part, because if you're doing that kind of stuff, then you need to make sure you got all the correct parts, all the correct fittings and that kind of stuff. So that takes time to plan. And people are starting to think, okay, PCs are, when you go to work back in the office, it's just a desktop or a laptop, and there's nothing special about it. You got, it's probably an Intel in there, and standard black and white, you know, black keyboard and standard mouse, I think RGB, and there's no lights on it. But when you're buying a system at home, you're going to make it look a little bit nice, right? You want, you know, people say, oh, RGB sucks, but hey, RGB is how you want to make it, you know? And I have RGB all over the place. I like it because I like looking at the case. Well, hey, this is what I built, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like having, you know, tech at home when you got your TV, your 65-inch TVs and stuff like that, right? If it's just a TV, that's just a TV. But if you started buying a TV with like, you get 120 hertz now, right? And you get like AMD FreeSync built in, and or AMD NVIDIA G-Sync built in. And those these TVs are good enough for gaming. And then you get like all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, PCs are not just your boring work stuff, right? You can build your own. And then especially with now with performance increase, you can do a lot of video editing and you know, that kind of stuff, and streaming. I think streaming is another big thing that really got them watching streams, and then some people doing their own live streams.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a big uptick in that kind of stuff. And but streaming is the other thing we're talking about. I think as you know, I'm doing a lot of live streams now, or every Sunday on the show, and then you're doing your weekly podcast. So you see more and more people joining and watching these streams. YouTube is still good, but you remember, with YouTube videos, they need to be filmed, which takes maybe like, you know, 20 minutes to film something, right?
Yeah.
But you're trying to edit this thing, right? It takes about half an hour to an hour, even more. And then you gotta like post it, and you gotta do that like literally. If you're a full-on YouTuber, you're posting your videos literally every day or every 2 days. There's a lot of time spent on editing. That's fine if you want to like have nice videos and stuff like that. I mean, I still do that, yes, but I think live streams are quicker, easier, and you have more interaction with your
viewers. That's the thing I like about this. Talking about interaction, old man asked in the chat, is the GPU shortage as bad in Hong Kong?
Oh yeah, definitely. I went to a local store and I asked, hey, can I get what's the price on the 3060, right? RTX 3060. I say, well, it's 7,000 Hong Kong dollars, which is literally 800 US.
Yeah.
I think, what the hell? And wait, you can't buy it on its own. You need to buy a whole system with it.
Yeah. I think.
He says, oh, if you don't want that, how about if you want to just run a graphics card on its own? That's fine. We got an RTX 3080 and it's 15,000 Hong Kong dollars, which is 1,700 US.
One of our regulars, he bought a cyber power. He bought a pre-built to get a 3080, and he did it like a couple months ago. And now he's like a genius because you could not get any. You can't get them at normal price. And he bought this entire system just for the GPU. But it ended up working out because he would have paid just as much for just the GPU at the time. So,
Right. And plus, if you don't want the system, you can actually take it apart, sell the parts, right?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are doing. I mean, because they can't upcharge the full built system. You know what I mean? Like all the upcharges that we're seeing for just, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how people are doing it. And I guess that just makes sense. I mean, you can only... it's not just GPU, CPU. I mean, a lot of my friends since the beginning of the year have been asking me like, okay, I want to build a new system. What should I get? And I was like, this is literally the most horrible time to try to build a new PC because you can't get, you know, the CPUs you want or the Ryzen 5000 series, you can't get those. You can't get any GPU, any recent GPU. And then even now, like the memory is harder to find now. My one buddy was telling me he couldn't find any memory. Cases are sold out. Everything's just sold out. It's just like.
It is. And it's going to be a really bad shortage for 2021. So don't expect it to change towards the end of the year, possibly. But Intel and I think. TSMC, the Taiwanese manufacturer for chips, they're building factories in Arizona, I heard. Yeah. So 2022 would be better. They'll have factories building those chips locally in US.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be better. Because right now they're relying on one factory, also a couple of factories, but they're owned by Taiwanese the TSMC. And that's you know, that company actually makes a lot of chips for who, guess? Apple, the M1 chips. Then they're making chips for AMD, all the Ryzens and Radeons, and then they also make chips for mobile systems, chips for the phones.
Yeah.
So yeah, shortages everywhere. Yeah, nightmare.
Yeah, it's just a crazy time with all of that, I think. That's another thing I want to ask you too, because I was only there for a couple of days in Hong Kong, but like, what's the PC market like there? Like for us, we have a Micro Center, we have Best Buy where we buy our PC hardware. Like, you have one major big store there, or is it a bunch of little stores, or how does that all work?
I don't think I've taken you there, Bob, but probably next time if you're there. They don't have a big store, not like you said, Micro Center or anything like that. They have an area. In fact, no, it's not an area. It's just a building. That building is called the Golden Center. And then there you have like three or four floors of just computer stuff, from laptops to systems to components. And I think the last couple of years they started getting into all the water cooling components. So it's basically one tower block, or I say tower, about four stories of just computer stuff. So that's the place to go. They have one in Kowloon side, which is the peninsula, and then on Hong Kong Island they have another building. So you have two separate buildings, two different sides of the town or city. But yeah, they don't have like a big store.
Okay, one store. Gotcha.
They have lots of small stores in a building block. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, we were going to go, I remember, and then it like was closed. Like, we wouldn't have got there in time, I remember.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We were going to go there in the afternoon. But yeah, it was a bit of a rush because I think it was rush hour. So it's going to be a bit of a traffic jam. But yeah. Good place to go, get some bargains. Prices recently, though, hasn't been that good. Back in the day, you're able to go there and get a good price, cheaper than what you'll get in the US, minus the tax, right? Yeah. But now the prices are literally more expensive than cheaper. It's actually cheaper for you to get in the US if you can get it.
Oh, wow.
If it's a stock, right? So I'm still using my RTX 2080. Do you know how much they are now?
I know. You should sell it.
It's like, wow, I can get like 800 for it. Wow.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have a 3090 in my main system, and then I have a 3080, and I have I don't have a 3070, but I have a 3060. Like, I'm lucky enough to have some of that stuff. And like, again, to see the increase in performance over the previous generation, and when they were released, the prices were really good compared to the previous generation too, which was
I don't have an RTX 30 series. Maybe someone can donate one. Hey, any sponsors out there, give me one.
That's one of the, I feel like that's one of the hardest things to get on is, I mean we for years we, you know, I would buy GPUs to review, and we, you know, it just takes time to get some sponsors lined up for that type of stuff.
I do have manufacturers and sponsors for that kind of stuff, but because what they call seeding. So if you guys don't know, seeding is the process where you're in the list of reviewers or whatever, and manufacturers usually have certain amount of cars for each region. For example, to say in the States, they might have 10 pieces of this card, and they can seed it out to those websites or those testers and stuff like that. Once those 10 cards are out, that's it, no more.
Yeah.
And then that's just say 10 cards for US. It could be 10 cards for the whole of Europe. So a lot of the reviewers will need to pass those cards around to different reviewing sites. That's one way of doing it. And the other way is, if you have a good relationship with those manufacturers and you do a lot of work for them and vice versa, then they are able to apply for cards that they can keep for actually further testing, plus for further builds. So if, for example, for me, I also do reviews. I also do builds. So twice a year, I do a system build for like just sponsored builds. Like this one here is from Antec. So a lot of the components, we repurpose them or reuse them to build systems for videos, for shows and things like that. And if they're willing to do that, then they can give you that card. But yeah, usually the limited number of cards for seeding, once it's covered or sent out, that's it, no more. So I'm one of those unlucky ones, which I've never been able to get seeded a card.
It's, but, it's hard, believe me, man. It's not. We for years, we never got seeded certain cards. And
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things. I mean, with anything, like with any company, you try to get in with the company, and that's why you go to CES to meet with them face to face, so they know you. And
that's
one of the more difficult things for sure. So, one question I wanted to ask you is what's one of the hardest parts about running a tech site? Like what do you think is the hardest thing?
I think the hardest part is finding, I think finding good content. Reviews is all reviews, yes, but how about like a little editorial, you know, your thoughts on certain things like up and coming technologies or something bad about a product, or maybe your thoughts on what's going to happen, like editorials, basically your thoughts or your opinions. And I don't have enough really time to sit down to write something good about it. So it's just like, you probably do it as well as I do, as a few other reviewers. It's like, you're just going to pump reviews out, right? That's the only time that you have. And then balancing that with doing your YouTube videos and then streaming. And then, you know, doing, like they said, you'd start doing prize giveaways, and that all takes time. All these small bits, and they all add up. And people think, oh, just running a website, oh, it's the coolest job in the world. But then you got to provide the content. You got to interact with your users and your viewers. And it's just balance. It's all about work balance and content balance and stuff like that. I mean, if you're just doing reviews, nothing else, then you're missing out on the rest of the stuff. And if you'll see that in certain sites or certain, you know, the content people that provide content. If you're a YouTuber and that's all you do, then you're missing out on the live stuff, right? The shows or the podcasts. If you, and then the websites, some of the YouTubers don't even have websites. They rely 100% on most of it on YouTube. And what happens if you get strikes on YouTube or sponsors dropping because of certain things, whatever? If you rely on that on too much, then you're gonna get stuck. And so we don't rely on heavily on any platform, but just kind of spread them out, kind of have a balance, and see how that goes. Because it's all about balance. Sometimes I think, okay, I haven't done a YouTube video for like 3 weeks now, so I'm thinking, I need to do something here. But yeah, but if your streams are doing well, then yes, I understand. You need to focus a little bit on that, or if you need to do more on your reviews, then you need to spend some time on that. So yeah, it's all about balance. I think I sometimes find a little bit of a difficulty trying to balance the content, but that's probably the
hardest part. Feel like that's kind of like the same thing. And I think that, just like you said, there's so many times where you see maybe like a big YouTuber or whatever, and then something happens with YouTube, and then they just complain on, you know, and then you're like, well, if you had a website, you wouldn't have this issue, right?
Yeah, because their main source of income is through the ads or from Google and stuff like that. And Google's getting stricter and stricter, if you noticed. I've noticed that. Especially with big tech now, and they're starting having all these, what you call them, those congressional hearings and stuff like that. So with privacy, content, that kind of stuff. So they're getting stricter and stricter. And if you're relying on someone else's platform, then you have to abide by their rules, right? So
yeah,
and the platform's free. Come on. I mean,
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I always say is that, like, you know, we have our YouTube, we have Twitch, we have Face, you know, we have our Facebook community, we have the website, we have our podcast. Like, you can, on a business side of things, you can leverage all of that. So say a company is, you know, we want a sponsorship, we want to pay money to have our ad or a pre-roll in a video, you know, somebody who's only has one thing, even if it's like their website, they can only offer that company, you know, like ad space on the website, or if they're a YouTuber, they can only offer them an ad on the video. Whereas we can put together a package that leverages everything and get the company more exposure through everything, not just that's one true. Thing. And that's kind of why I like, just like how you said, like, that is one of the toughest things is managing everything, because, you know, if I, like you said, like, I sometimes it's like 2-3 weeks I haven't actually made a YouTube video, you know, I have all these reviews to do and everything like that. But I do like the idea of having a lot of different mediums to put things out, you know, on one medium.
That's true. So. It's getting those content out and satisfy you viewers.
Yeah. So we talking about that. One, we have Fabric
from Brazil.
Yeah, from Brazil. So hi from Rio de Janeiro. And then Old Man said, talking about content, he said, I've seen more interest in videos on older GPUs. I think miners aren't really interested in them. They have good for emulation. Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of YouTubers make videos in like older tech or stuff that was like really big at the time, and now they're kind of resurrecting it. And it's finding interesting. Like, we just did the water cooling build with Ryan, like doing different things that aren't specifically reviews. I think sometimes it goes really well, sometimes nobody's interested. It's kind of like you just gotta, you know, put it out there and see if it works out, you know.
Yeah.
I just got to kind of put it out there. But you always, one thing I always say is always just put out content. You can't just like, if you, just like you said with your previous websites, if you take time off, too much time off, people are just going to forget about you.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Cause when we did the AMD 3D back in the day, you know, the content was just basically reviews. We didn't have anything else really back in the day. And it was early 2000s, I think, or late 90s. And there was no YouTube, there was no streaming, nothing. It was just the website, and forums back then was big. And the forums were literally what you have today as Facebook, you know. It was a community of people, and so the content and the only thing that you could make money off was for the in-house kind of banner ads. But then it's not really something that you're not going to make huge amounts of money on that. Yeah. It was just something that, you know, your sponsor say, hey, there, how about we give you something, a board or something that you could put some banners on for us. So you weren't actually making any money, but the content is what it is. And it was just reviews. I think kind of mid to 2004, 2005. That's when YouTube started kicking and people started making content videos. But today it's all about everything from live, like what we're doing right now, to YouTube videos, to written reviews, to doing like hosting competitions, events, and prize giveaways. In fact, one of the things I wanted to do was to do a can't do it now in Hong Kong, but I'll probably do it somewhere else where we'll hire a warehouse for the day. Right, and we could do like a showcase of all the mods that I've built or some other people's built, and we do like a little show. People come in and see all the modded PCs and things like that, and then we could have like sponsors having their product showcased at, you know, in the warehouse or this event thing, and this, I think this is where what we could do gradually as we move along, is that we could do like, we can host our own events, we can do host our events virtually, because going to CES is expensive, going to Computex is also expensive, you travel, the hotels and stuff like that, we did a live show with Mike from Thermaltake, and he did like a live showcase. Of course, he has his own streaming setup, yeah. But he had two separate cameras. One was focusing on the product, one was on his, you know, face and everything. So you switch between different scenes, product to him and so on. And literally he was talking about his product. So in the future, or I'll say future, we could see people like us and manufacturers doing live product reviews or showcases virtually online.
Yeah.
And in fact, like you have two screens right now, right? Me and you, Bob, yeah. Me and you, right? And third person could be the manufacturer, right? And
yeah,
we could be doing live two, three guys asking questions about the product. He'd be showcasing the product live. And it'll be a virtually live show.
Yeah.
Event. Yeah. So that's what I
think too. We're coming to the point where I think obviously COVID helped that out a lot, because a lot of people, because of it, are using like Zoom for the first time, or they're using, you know, GoToMeeting or whatever. Now they're used to this. They're used to talking to somebody on the screen now and being engaged with somebody on the screen. So, you know, I think a lot of, I don't think you're ever going to replace something like CES or Computex, because they're so big and a lot of the business gets done not on the show floor. It gets done after at parties. Yeah. And
it's still, and you need that face-to-face interaction. Yeah. You know, you need to meet the guys. They need to see who you are and stuff. That's all going to be still there. Yes. But for the guys, for example, if you're not going to move on forward, taking this technology in mind, like I said, a lot of YouTubers, for example, they probably don't even know how to do live streams. They probably don't even know how to interact live with viewers like us right now. They're probably just doing, oh, let's film this. I got to edit, and then edit, squeeze it all together. Oh, that looks good. Then upload it. But live is live. You could say something. You say you could be a mistake. You could say something wrong, or you could say something that is not correct. But then that's probably because it's live, and you say, oh, shit.
Well, the thing that's nice about it is like for a lot of the products I review, I'll make a video on and I'll put it up on YouTube. But then when we do the live stream each week, I'll hold the product up in front and be like, you know, this is the product, you know, whatever. And it's what's nice is that if there's something that I missed in the video that I made, somebody can ask the question and I can go over it and show them on the specific product right there in real time, which is kind of nice.
Mm.
Streaming
is definitely a big thing now, but it's going to even be bigger moving forward. And if this is the correct time, or even we're already in it right now, is to do the live streams. And this is it. Well, if you're in it already and you have the shows, the podcasts that you're doing, I think it's the right step. It's the step forward, and keep it going. I'm going to keep going no matter what I do, because live stream for me, I think is where it's at right now. YouTube, it's still going to be there, but people won't. I think live is a lot more fun, more interactive.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah. Just like the people that are our regulars, like Old Man in the chat, like he's one of our regulars. We have you know, a bunch of regulars that are here every week, and it's like we get to interact with them and see what they're up to. And I like the interaction. It's you know, and it's all in real time, because you can have somebody comment on a video or comment on a review, but like there's no real interaction. Like you can reply to them, but it's not real time, and it's not like you can speak to that person. You're typing to the, it's just a little different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So so before we let you go, you and I get to take a look at a lot of tech. Is there something that you're looking forward to later this year, into next year? Like, what's the next big thing that you're going to get excited about?
Well, I've never been really excited about Intel processors, right? Because for me, they're just do you know how old 14 nanometer tech is?
Yeah, we're on plus. I think five.
14 nanometer, I'm telling you, it's like 6-7 years ago. And they're still using it. Okay, fine. It's a mature tech. It's still working. But people are moving on to 5 nanometer. I mean, come on. I mean, Apple, the M1 chip, I know it's not designed for PC use, but they're on like five. Well done to Apple, man, because I never even thought they would have done a 5-nanometer chip. Yeah. I would have thought AMD would have done it, but no, Apple did it, man. And this TSMC, the Taiwanese manufacturer that did the M1 chips. But yeah, Intel, come on, you need to up your game. Apparently they have. So towards the end of the year, I heard that they're going to be producing 7-nanometer chips. And it's going to be, I think, the 12th gen possibly. And that coincides with DDR5. Now that would be interesting. So that I'm quite excited about that one. I'm not excited about the 11th gen just recently. That's just...
Bleh. Yeah, I have those chips coming here. I'll be getting them early next week. The thing that's interesting about the 11th gen, which I don't want to go into a whole thing on 11th gen, but it's the first time that we've gone down in cores, because the i9-10900K is 10 cores.
10 cores.
But the i9-11900K is eight cores.
What about the i7?
I think it's 8 cores as well. Yeah.
That just doesn't make sense, right?
But the thing that I always say about Intel, and I do give them some credit, I think that this whole transition out of 14 nanometer has killed them, and it allowed AMD to come in and do what they've been doing. But the fact that they're at least with the 11th series, and you know, they're still competitive at 14 nanometer. Imagine, mm-hmm. I always say this, imagine when they do go down to 7 or 10, you know, 10, 7, 5, like imagine how much more competitive they're going to be once they get out of 14 nanometer. But yeah, I mean, 14 nanometer has kind of killed them, really.
So there's a thing where you could look at it two ways, because if they go 7 nanometer now from the next gen, that takes time for their 7 nanometer to mature. So you got to think about, okay, and they can do it. The reason why they can do it is because Intel own their own production lines, right? Yeah. They have their own factories. They don't need to rely on a third-party manufacturer. They got their own factories to build their own chips, and that's the thing. And that's why I'm excited about the next gen, the 12th gen. So yeah, they've got factories in Ireland and Malaysia and, of course, US and things like that. Yeah. But AMD don't have their own. They rely on global foundries. They rely on the TSMC and stuff like that. So, in fact, Global Foundries actually started off with AMD. So
yeah,
it was a collaboration, and they sold off Global Foundries. But with those, with the nanometer techs, they, I think at the moment, the most high-end ones are TSMC right now with the 5-nanometer. So
yeah, TSMC and Samsung are the two big.
But
yeah, I mean, for me, I'm honestly not that, like, the thing. There's really not a whole lot, because the thing is, I get excited. Because I get to look at everything, you know, and I get to have it and see it. I get excited that I can share that tech with somebody else, meaning that they can go out and buy it and experience the same thing that I get to. And right now with the shortages, you don't get any, like, you know, I can talk about this product and how awesome it is, but if you can't buy it, that's no fun for you. So until we get out of this shortage on these awesome products, it's hard to really get excited about a lot of stuff.
What about your graphics cards? What, the Intel graphics card? What are your thoughts on that?
I gotta see it. I mean, we've been hearing about it for so long. It's such a great thing that they're doing, because I always say adding somebody else into the mix brings more competition, allows companies, they have to compete against each other. So that's going to be good for everybody down the line. But they've already said their first graphics card's not going to be a gaming grade card. It's going to be entry level. And in all honesty, the Raja at AMD, who was at AMD, I mean, his time at AMD, and if you look at the graphics cards that they put out when he was there, not the best. Right? I mean, not really all that competitive against NVIDIA. So we'll see. I always say, just like, we'll see. You know, it's good that they're doing it. It's incredibly, it's a big leap for Intel. But if anybody could do it, Intel would be one of the people that could do it. It's just, we're not going to see a competitor to even 1440p or, you know, definitely not 4K, probably not until next year or the year after. I mean,
yeah. Intel. So yeah, I'll be waiting. Give me some cheap graphics cards. I wouldn't mind. No, if they can do like multi-scaling Intel GPUs in like quads, then maybe give me some.
And that's
quads,
the thing
quad Intels.
You have to worry about too is like, you know, all of these game studios have great relationships with both NVIDIA and AMD, and then the games get optimized for the card, so the performance is really good. Then you have a new, you know, you have Intel coming in who has to make all of those, you know, make all of those
it's, you know, like remember back in the day, the console wars, we had Nintendo and Sega battling out, and then Sony just came in with PlayStation. Everybody thought, yeah, well, they're gonna die, it's not gonna last.
Yeah.
And but Sony, being a bigger company, corporate company, global, right? They had enough money to pump into marketing, sales, paying money, or the gaming studios, huge amounts of money, say, hey, you need to produce some games for us for Sony PlayStation, blah, 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 blah. The marketing, the amount of money they spent on that was huge. And if Intel needs to be successful with their graphics cards or some of the other products, then they need to spend a lot of money into that kind of marketing, into enticing all the gamers and studios to produce games, stuff like that.
I mean, so, they're already spending. I mean, I can't. I mean, you saw over the past year, all of the people from NVIDIA, AMD, all the companies that they brought in. I mean, to bring in these people, they're going to have to offer them a lot more than they're already getting paid. you know, so I mean, they're spending the money. And I do like that it's not a quick rollout, though, because when something gets rolled out quick, it's usually never good, right?
I would say
take as long as you want. Do it the right way. It's just like with Ryzen. I mean, Ryzen, the development period, I mean, basically AMD was like, we're not going to be competitive for 2 years. And then 2 years down the line, we had first gen Ryzen, the second gen Ryzen got better. And then third gen Ryzen was like the, you know, that's, you know, and now we're on Ryzen 5000 series, which is basically what I would recommend everybody. So they did it the right way. And if Intel can do that on the GPU, they're going to be, you know.
The FX process is very spiff. This sucks.
But it's, you see what AMD did, and it was just like, that's how you do it, and you have to take that hit. That was a financial hit of not being competitive for 2 years to get into a competitive space, and that's kind of what you have to do. And for Intel, I mean, they don't have any previous, I mean, they do have one previous GPU from like years ago, but I mean, they don't need to put out GPUs until it's fully ready. So it's going to be a while, but we'll see what happens.
True.
But yeah, real quick, before we do get out of here, I do want to remind everybody that we have a contest going on. I'm doing the purge of all Bob's tech stuff. We've been doing it. So every week I'm giving away something that I've reviewed that's either been sitting in storage or that I just have here and that I don't want to take with me across the country because I don't want any more boxes than I already have. So we're on week 9 already. And this week we have the MSI B450i Gaming Plus AC motherboard. This is a mini ITX board, B450, which means that it will support both Ryzen 3000 series, and if you update the BIOS, I could update the BIOS, but it will support Ryzen 5000 series chips as well. Perfect little board to do just a cool ITX build or even a home theater PC build. I'm sure a lot of you guys know, it's just really easy to do, really easy to enter. We do it all on Gleam. Just super easy, so definitely get your entry in. And these only last for a week. These are week long contests. That's it. So get your entry in on that for sure. So, and then Winston, you do giveaways on your stream, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so we got a monthly one that is a premium prize because it's one of these big, expensive boards, I guess, for our Twitch subscribers, because they're paying this subscription fee to Twitch. So yeah, we want to offer that to Twitch subscribers only. And then on a weekly basis, we got like the merchandise, right? The funky t-shirts, the baseball caps, and that kind of stuff. And occasionally we might have like little things like, you know, pieces of RAM or USBs and things like that, and giveaways like, you know, the freebies from manufacturers. And yeah, so we give those away in a weekly basis. Sometimes then we have sponsored products like boards, like we did the boards and stuff that we could give away. But yeah, that's all on the show as well. So yeah, go ahead and check it out.
Shinny's in the chat. I believe we'll be doing some gaming. He's one of the people we play games with each week. He said there's, yeah, a lot of boxes. I will be moving very, very soon. So, well, Winston, I appreciate you coming on and telling us all about both your websites as well as everything that you're kind of doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we can catch you, funkykit.com?
Yep, funkykit.com is the website. AMD3D is the AMD related news, reviews, and kind of stuff. And then you got Twitch channel, twitch.tv/funkykit. You also youtube.com/funkykit. That's where the YouTube videos are. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, of course, and Instagram. So yeah, a lot of the socials we're covered.
Nice. Well, definitely check him over on all of those things, and check out your Facebook group. What is it called?
Extreme PC Modding. Yeah.
That is when I say that's an awesome group, literally there's so many people in there and everybody's talking tech. They're talking modding. They're showing off their builds. Like half of the builds that we get for Case Mod Friday come from there. It's just a cool place. If you're looking for a place to continue to talk tech, if you're not talking with us, go ahead and check that out for sure. I'll be sure to put that. I don't have it in the show notes, but I'll add it to the show notes for all of you guys to check out. And definitely next week, next Wednesday, will be the last podcast that we do from this place. Be my last one. Be bittersweet, I guess. But yeah, be the last podcast. Ryan will be back on. So that's going to be it for this week. We are gaming. Ryan is back. He got back and he wants the game, apparently. So he will be starting the stream over on Twitch. So you can go ahead and check that out. Apex Legends, as we always do every week. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. Again, Winston, thank you for coming on. And we will see everybody next week. And again, you're on Sundays, right? Your live stream is Sundays.
Live stream's on Sundays, 11 a.m. EST. Okay. It'll be, I think, 4 p.m. GMT, and it's 11 p.m. here in Hong Kong. So
nice. Check out his live stream on Sunday, and we'll see everybody next week.